Welcome to this evening's meeting of the Plans Committee. There are a number of things I would like to remind people of before we start with the items on our agenda. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. So that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent? We are not expecting any fire alarm tests this evening, and so if the fire alarms sound, please proceed to the nearest fire exit, which are situated to the side and to the rear of this meeting room. Toilets are available, and these can be found through the doors at the back and to the side. We'll now commence with the meeting proper. Thank you. First of all, may I ask if there are any apologies, please?
Thank you. I've had apologies from Councillor Page and Councillor Fryer.
Thank you. No other apologies. Minutes of the previous meeting. I'd like to ask the committee members if we can confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 7th of March 2019. Are we all agreed, please? Thank you. Item 3, questions under committee procedure 12.8. No questions have been submitted. 4, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest, please. Councillor Grimley, please.
Thank you. Item number 1, I actually work for the architects adjoining the site for their work doing the Grange Park Community Centre, so I will leave the room during that item. Item number 4, I did call in that item, but my call-in was only a request for this to be a committee hearing. I've not expressed any opinions on the application, and I will sit in that because I feel that I haven't given any opinions on that. I have an open mind. Thank you.
Councillor Tillotson, please.
Thank you, Chair. Item 3, this application is in my ward. I've called in the application. I shall be speaking against it, so I don't have an open mind and I won't take part in the voting. Thank you.
I also have a disclosure on item 3, 133 Knightsthorpe Road. This is in my ward, but the matter has been called in and dealt with by Councillor Tillotson. I have an open mind and about this matter, so because the matter rests with Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Snart, please.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I have a personal interest on item 4. I know one of the speakers, or known to me, Ms. Lizzie Marjoram, known through a meeting of the Parish Council at Woodhouse. Personal interest, I have an open mind.
Thank you, Councillor Snart. Are there any other declarations of or disclosures of interest, please? Councillor Ben.
Yeah, hello, Chair. Lizzie Marjoram is also known to me, but not in a personal capacity, so I'll be remaining and voting on this item.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Anything further? Any other disclosures? Thank you. We will now move on to the planning applications that we have before us. First planning application, P18088802, William Davis Limited, land off Highland Drive and Knox Road. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. This application before you has been submitted by William Davis Homes, and it seeks planning permission for the erection of 24 dwellings with access, garages, parking spaces and associated works. This presentation is in two parts. The first part will explain the actual revised current planning application, and the second part will deal with the background to the principle of the proposed development. In essence, I'd like to begin by explaining the current application in detail to you and then move on to how the uses arising from the proposed local centre have been developed and addressed. Just so you're aware, if I can draw your attention to page 8 of my planning report under background, in that the relevant paragraph points out that in 2002, an outline residential planning application was granted plan permission as part of the wider redevelopment of what is now known as the Grange Park Estate. The approved scheme and the planning agreement that was attached to it contained details of the application site being developed as a local centre to serve the new residents. This local centre involved a range of shopping facilities with flats above, health facilities, it looked at a potential place of worship and a community centre. The application for you, before you for residential development is seeking to redevelop this hectare of land initially allocated as a local centre for this current residential development. The location plan before you shows two separate parcels of land, each outlined in red, and the plan is to put a total of 24 dwelling houses on both these plots. I'm going to refer to the top site as Site A and the bottom site as Site B so I can talk about the description of the proposals and how the various elements are going to be proposed on the sites. So Site A, the top area, would contain 12 two-storey dwelling houses, and Site B, the bottom part, would contain 11 two-storey dwelling houses and a bungalow. The main roads to be aware of is that this is Highlands Drive that runs along the frontage of the building, and this is Knox Road, which truncates the two sites. The two sites themselves are currently void. There's nothing actually on there. They are open land, and they're bounded by metal fencing, wire fencing. The surrounding area is probably residential in character, but members will be aware that last year that you granted planning permission for a new community hall, and this is currently under construction, and that's being constructed here next to Site B. And they're looking to make that operational sometime in the August of this year. Members should also note that this area here that I'm pointing out to is allocated as an open space and with a play area as well. Separate planning permission has already been granted for this, and the developers would provide that either before the development taking place here or afterwards. This pixel map, not an area map, it's a pixel map. I've done it on purpose this way, just to highlight the surrounding area for you. So the two red areas are the two housing sites. The yellow area is where the community hall is going, and the green area is the open space play provision. And I just wanted to show the context that it's most of the site around there is now all developed with housing, and this is probably one of the last phases that hasn't been developed on, other than the sort of community hall which is currently being constructed on the site. Right, I'm just going to quickly take you through some photographs that I've taken. basically a total of 5 photographs, one taken from this position here, looking across the site. Where I'm pointing with an arrow is where the applicants, William Davis, have got some flagpoles and paraphernalia advertising the site, and that will help you get your bearings in terms of where we are. The second photograph looks the other way, on the opposite corner, looking back onto backing up onto the site. The third photograph will look is positioned here, looking up at the 2 development blocks along Knox Road. And then what I'll do is just show an angle picture showing site site B, and also a picture of the development, the current construction for the community hall. So the first photograph, you can see that site B with the flagpoles on the corner, which I referred to previously before, and that site A. And that's Highland Drive, and that's Knox Road. The second photograph, looking back in the other opposite direction, looking across the site so you know where the flagpoles are and their advertisement hoarding. So that's site B, that is site A, and then that's site B, and that's the community building under construction at the moment. The third photograph shows Knox Road, which truncates both site A and site B, and it just shows you what the land actually looks like at the moment. And the next photograph should show the community centre or under construction on site B. And I'm just going to take the other main photograph. So you've got an idea of what's happening around the area. And again, that's the community centre, the advert hoarding advertising that. And the top panel shows you what it actually looks like in relation to the rest of the development. Before I get to the revised scheme, I thought I'd show you what the original proposal was. I think it's important that I point out a number of factors, that the applicants submitted a planning application for 30 units, then it was revised to 26, and the one that you're looking at today is 24 units. We had sort of major concerns with the development proposal of 30 units. We didn't think it fitted in with the character of the area, so we went into a lot of discussions, design discussions with the developers to try and address our sort of concerns. So the revised plan is this one. And what you've got is a reduction from 30 units to 24 units, so it appears less cramped. A lot of the properties have been reorientated, new properties introduced to actually address the street scene. I draw your attention to this group of bodies, houses, which have got yellow dots on them. These are two-storey dwelling houses, and this is a bungalow in the corner, and these are part of the contribution towards the affordable housing policy that City Council seeks. So there is a bungalow, and the other are 6 units, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, are two-storey dwelling houses. We've tried to make sure that there are adequate sort of parking spaces for everybody in terms of transportation, make sure there are adequate turning circles. A lot of the properties have been changed in appearance. We've tried to avoid the applicants, just the general house type. The properties have actually been enhanced, and I'll have some elevations for you to show how that is being demonstrated on the plans. A few questions were raised at the site visit by members on separation distances, so I just need to quickly just explain those separation distances. Boyle Drive runs along the back of the site here, and the separation distances that we've got from windowed to windowed elevations, plot to plot, is approximately 14 metres at the top end. So that's from the middle property here going across to where the front of those properties opposite are. Going to the bottom half of site A, the separation distances from the existing property on Highlands Drive going back up to the new properties, that separation distance we've calculated to being over 18 metres. A third separation distance is with these two houses, which are two-storey, which are being put at the end of this cul-de-sac. The separations from the gable end to the backs of the houses that are backing onto that particular site, the separation distance is just under 10 metres. What I've done for you, just broken up the elevations of the proposed properties. This is Knox Road, where my arrow is pointing. And these are the properties that would face onto that part of Site A. This is Site A, and this obviously forms a Site B. And that's Knox Road, the middle road that truncates the site. What I'm going to do as well is just show you what's along on this side, continuing on with these two properties here. And again, you know, Knox Road is here. This is this is the new access road creating onto where the affordable housing units are being provided. And again, we've tried to vary the house types as much as possible, introduce chimneys, introduce individual details. Conditions are attached to control the materials in terms of externally the bricks and the roof tiles. And we've also put on a landscaping condition as well to actually enhance the site. This is the view of the properties on Site A, and this is looking from Knox Road, looking onto the properties along there. And the next plan I'm going to show you is just all the previous plans, just in their sort of site context. So that's the top band is actually looking from Highlands Drive, Knox Road here, the new access road serving the cul-de-sac properties forming the affordable housing, and the bottom is actually sort of Knox Road, the elevations, which faces basically onto Site B and onto the new community centre. So that's what you'd be looking at, looking from the community centre, looking back on Knox Road. Okay. I've talked about the impact of the revised development. The important thing to point out is a lot of the details on the design were amended to actually address a lot of the concerns that residents raised with the first scheme for 30 units. We've only had two representations made to the revised scheme, and those, I think, have been addressed in my report. The transportation impact, again, we spent a lot of time with the County Council's highway engineers to go through the revised plans to make sure it met with their requirements. They're fully satisfied with the parking implications arising from the development, and they're also satisfied in terms of turning areas and that the scheme will work from their perspective in terms of highway safety. I'm going to turn to the principle of the development because I need to spend some time explaining the background to the current application now. This is a plan that I've got that I put on display for you. The black line indicates the development site. Knox Road is here, and it just indicates how, as an indicative layout plan, how the various components that we're going to put onto the site, you know, a health centre, a community centre, a local centre. So the yellow areas were parking spaces, and that was part of the sort of indication on one of the very earlier plans, how we felt that the site could be developed. And then later on, with the outline consent being granted permission, a very illustrative plan was also submitted again, and this is how it sort of appears. In my mind, this is appears very harsh, very hard. It's using up a lot of land. It's putting parking spaces right at the back of people's houses and things like that. So there are issues with this development. And the reason I put this up is to show you how intensive that development is on the site compared to what you've got at the moment for the revised scheme. Part of the discussions that we've had in terms of the proposed uses, I'm just going to go into some detail now just to explain things to you. Okay. On page 17 of the planning report with regards to the principle of the use, it points out the site was already originally allocated for development purposes in the 2004 local plan, and planning permission was subsequently granted for both commercial and residential flats on the application site. And the principle of development of this site has therefore already been established. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Members should note that the current application site was subsequently reserved to provide a local centre as part of the approved outline planning application granted in 2006, subject to the Section 106 I was referring to. There were a number of clauses that the 106 contained. One of the clauses in my report, which is highlighted, required that within 6 months of the occupation of the first dwelling, the submission of a marketing strategy designed to promote the sale or lease of the land reserved for shopping, commercial uses, community health and welfare developments, including a place of worship, doctors, dentists and other such health and welfare facilities, should be pursued, and a timetable provided for implementation. The other important clause within that agreement was that that if the council was satisfied that the marketing strategy had been implemented and there was no demand for those uses, it allowed the developers to allow to use the land for residential purposes. That's very, very important. There's a clause in that 106. My report on page 18 points out to members that a number of marketing strategies, viability appraisals have been carried out, the latest being November 2018. These have been scrutinised by your officers, and in assessing the implications of the loss of the local centre, these are the kind of conclusions that we reach. First of all, with regards to the community centre, this is, as you're aware, is still being provided on site, and it is anticipated that the trustees would also allow rooms within that community centre to groups for worship purposes. Therefore, the issue with places of place of worship and community uses are still available, would be and are available on the site. Turning to the health facilities, we've consulted the clinical commissioning group, and they've come back to us and they've confirmed in writing that they do not have any plans now or in the future to provide a doctor's practice at the site, and are instead focused on supporting existing practices. So the money and resources they're looking at are to perhaps extend existing practices, and there is no programme for that. So if that's the case, the health facilities themselves in many ways just fall to one wayside. We can't actually put things that the clinical commission group or the medical practitioners don't actually support. Turning to the retail uses, the marketing assessments have concluded that the provision of retail shops in this location are unviable, and that's their conclusions. Having read their reports and having read their sort of experts, I've come to the same conclusions from the evidence that they've presented. They were very, very thorough reports. They were independent reports, and a lot of the statements that they actually said about how Loughborough is operating as a centre, they captured very well in their reports. So there wasn't much I can say to that. They've also pointed out in the report to the changes in the retail industry as a whole, changes in the growth, you know, the growth in the internet, trends for online retail shopping, and also they've pointed out to the development of a new local centre at the junction of Allendale Road and Ling Road, which includes an Aldi food store, a Subway, a Greggs and a Costa Coffee. And this plan in front of you actually shows in red where the application site is and where the new facilities are that I've just referred to. Just to give you an approximation. And that's just a picture of the new retail park. And as I said, it contains an Aldi store, a Subway's, Greggs, a drive-through Costa. I should also point out that the applicant has given consideration to providing a single retail convenience store on the site. This was something that was requested as part of the public consultation exercise, so we went back to the developers and asked for their views on that. Again, they've come back to us and they've said and advised us that this is not considered viable from their perspective and it wouldn't fit in with the character of the development, so we have asked those questions. Another important thing to point out as well is that we had some, as part of the consultation exercise, we had a request to put to the developers about whether all the development could include all bungalows as opposed to two-storey houses. But the developers have come back quite strongly arguing against that. And there is information I can read to you if I have more questions to answer on that. The evidence before you is that... that I'm putting towards you is that the marketing strategies are robust and the construction of a local commercial centre less than a mile away, it is considered that the applicant has fulfilled their obligations that are set out in the Section 106 agreement. As I pointed out earlier, it's important to point out that the 106 does include a fallback position to allow the site to be developed for residential purposes. So the principle is there. I've pointed out to you the site's attributes, the accessibility to other nearby facilities, together with the contribution that it would make to not just to the housing land supply, but also towards affordable housing provision, and the fact that the site is within an established, built-up, existing residential area. There is no objection to the principle of the development for the reasons outlined in your officer's report. The final thing I need to do is remind myself that there is an additional report before you for consideration. I just need to quickly take you through it, if I may. The recommendation before you is to approve, subject to a completion of a legal agreement. At the time of writing the report, we didn't have the most up-to-date information from the Education Authority for the revised scheme. They've now come back to us and said that the figure of contribution that they're looking to is £86,952.48. The report, the addendum report, indicates where the various money for education will be spent on. We've got no issues with that. It complies with SIL. The second point to make is that we've also had revised comments from the library services team, and they've corrected their requirement for the financial contribution. It's now revised from £780, what they're requesting, to £720 to be spent on facilities at Corn Library. So therefore, subject to those recommendation changes to recommendation A on page 23 of the report, the recommendation before you is for approval subject to the completion of legal agreement. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nelevele. Colleagues, we don't have any speakers for this application, so I'm moving straight on to our discussion. I have two councillors wishing to speak, Councillor Bentley and Councillor Tillotson. Are there any others at this moment, please? Thank you, Councillor Starr. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Any others at the moment, please? Councillor Bentley, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It seems like a very comprehensive and well-presented report. We've obviously covered the issues in respect of what we would like to have seen there, and that's obviously not going to happen. So I don't see any reason for not moving officers' recommendation to permit.
Thank you. Councillor Tillotson, please.
Thank you, Chair. I also support this application. I think it's worth pointing out that it was never intended that this site would be open space. I do have a couple of observations, really, though, that I want to make. I notice in the report that a residents' association are requesting a bus service, and while I know this is outside this committee or even this council's remit, I do feel that the residents' association are absolutely right. An estate of this size ought to have a bus service, and I would like to see this council approach the bus companies and make that point, and hopefully that would be sorted out. I think it's also worth pointing out that there is a GP practice within reasonable distance, as there are the shops that have been mentioned, but also other shops at Shelthorpe. But again, it does point out the need for a bus service for this estate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before I move on, so Councillor Bentley, you are proposing that we accept officers' recommendation?
Correct, Chair.
Thank you. And do I take it then, Councillor Tillotson, that you will second that proposal?
I think it was seconded by Councillor Seaton, Chair.
Councillor Stark, please.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Through you, if I could just ask a couple of three questions of the officers, if I may. The separation distance in one point was 10 metres. Could we just check that that's in our line with our SPD? The housing mix for the market dwellings, it may be in there, but I couldn't see it. It's certainly there for the affordable. Could I just know what that is? And I'm just interested, and I think my colleague's quite right, there is no bus service down there, but in recommendation A, we're getting a financial contribution towards sustainable travel. Whereabouts do they actually pick this bus up, and how can we actually ask for travel packs when there's no bus service? I think that was it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stark. Mr. Naylor Millie, would you like to respond now, please?
If I can deal with the public transport issue, I understand currently there is no bus service that goes along Highland Drive. I recognise members' concerns, and it is something that, as planning officers, we consider it, you know, is important. We share that concern. All I can say to you is that the bus service, to initiate that, it involves discussions with the County Council. And the County Council then go and speak to the bus companies. What I'd say, Chair, I'm quite happy to take that back and report your concerns back to the County Council engineers that I've dealt with. And then perhaps at a next planning committee meeting, I can sort of perhaps report back what the engineers had to say. And that's probably the best way to deal with that issue at this stage, because I don't have the answers for that without having a county engineer here to speak to. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors.
We've not finished all the questions.
Just got a couple more questions. Okay. Separation distances. If I can quickly go through the separation distances again. The main separation distance that Councillor Smart was referring to was this property here, two-storey property, and the separation distance to the back of those dwelling houses that face onto the site. Councillor Smart, the separation distance is just under 10 metres. Ideally, it should be 12 metres, but we are aware of that shortfall. It's so minor in a shortfall that the impact, you know, it is only just guidance. It's not strict policy, as in that they have to do that. I've taken the impact of the benefit of the overall scheme in terms of landscaping, in terms of the detail of the materials, and certainly when it comes to the boundary treatment, I'll give that particular care. There are four properties actually back onto that site, onto that property. It's two that are affected. The other two look onto the garden area and the turning circle. Okay. Thank you. Was there another question,
yes,
Councillor?
Mix of open market housing.
Mix of open. The scheme is Wilson Bowden always do. William Davis always do a mix of housing, and in terms of going through those sort of various mixes, the properties are different, the bedroom sizes are different, and I think there is a good range of private properties that are put in that mix of that development.
Do you not have it
down? I don't have it. No. I haven't got the actual information to hand to give you that split.
Do you wish to respond, Councillor Snart?
I just thank the officers, and there were minor bits, but I'm pleased that we're taking it up about the public transport. I think it is quite a way. I know we say that the superstore is on site now, but to walk that and walk back with sort of goods and stuff from there, I would think it would be quite a task. And I think in future we should have something there in terms of getting people. And actually it's policy for us in terms of having transport and a way to get to places on public transport. But thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stark. Councillor Seaton, please. I'm sorry, you did second the proposal.
I did.
Thank you.
Chair.
My apologies.
That's all right. I want a drink later. It's really observations, because I am seconding the proposal. But my observations are, first of all, the design is a lot better than the design before. We were asking, I think, on the design before, that the existing houses would be looking at other people's cars and the cars would be parked on the outside. So this is an awful lot better. I want to go back to the sustainability. I'm extremely surprised that consultation hasn't already been completed or at least started with the county regarding buses, especially with our planning policies on sustainable developments. This fails on all parts of sustainable development. It's got not got shops. It's not got transport to it. Okay, we planned shops. The whole estate was planned to have a heart in the middle of it with shops. Okay, now we're having to backtread. And probably this development, if it wasn't put aside for a shopping or retail park initially, it would have been planned a lot better. And I think as a planning department, we need to be aware that the developers will always find it difficult to market retail in the middle of a development like this. So I think we have to watch it there. Especially with the big SUVs that are coming on at the moment and they're developing. It would have been better to have this centre developed at the same time as the rest of the estate. And sometimes, it's just an observation now, that I'm wondering if we ask too much of a development, of putting in these retail parks, when we know probably that they're not going to be market viable. So again, we just need to be aware of in the future. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Mr. Bennett, please.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, if I could help Councillor Seaton with some of her concerns. We have to remember this is a site that was developed back in, I think its history goes back to the late 1990s, actually. And we've learned a lot about how to bring forward major developments. And you've seen through this committee the SUEs that we're hoping to bring forward west of Loughborough and northeast of Leicester. And you've seen how we've worked to try and create sustainable places with those applications. I think members who've perhaps got longer memories will recall when this application came forward through the original local plan process and then through this committee. There were some difficult choices for members at that time about what this development could provide in terms of community benefits. And one of the decisions that the members made at that time was to give priority towards the Appenall Way extension, which was seen to be more beneficial in the public interest than trying to actually achieve the development of the local centre. But what we did do, or were able to do at that time, was to secure the local centre as an opportunity should there be, developer interest, commercial interest in bringing those units forward. Now, it is the case that, circumstances have changed over time. When this scheme was originally intended to be marketed for commercial development, we were in the middle of a deep recession. And subsequently, we've seen other opportunities come forward off the end of the Allendale Road. So all of these things, all taken together, have led to the situation that we find ourselves within. I think in terms of sustainable travel, that is one of our key priorities in our core strategy. The difficulty is, at the end of the day, the provision of commercial bus services is a matter for the bus companies. And whilst we can work through the County Council to try and encourage those new routes and services, we don't have control of that. But obviously, we share your concerns around that. So if that helps.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Richard. That is helpful. I'm just concerned of these sort of developments looking like they're infilling. And I think the first time it was planned, it did look like it was infilling. This looks as though it's going to enhance the centre. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. The last councillor I have down on my list is Councillor Campsall. Before I turn to Councillor Campsall, is there anybody who would like to speak, please? Councillor Campsall, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just looking at the landscaping, could I ask the officers, are Davis is going to plant anything to attract wildlife to the site, firstly? Thank you.
Through you, Chair, there is a very stringent condition attached on the landscaping details. William Davis are in the audience today. They've heard what members have said. Part of that discharge, that condition, will incorporate some biodiversity proposals as well within the scheme. Thank you, Chair.
The second question, just looking at the pretty pictures of these trees, look like large oak trees at the back of the houses. Have we got some oak trees coming in?
The answer is no. Those are just background shots. Those trees don't exist, but we are going to have some good examples. Work with our landscape team to produce trees, mature, semi-mature trees of different varieties that might be appropriate to help set the environment. But they're not necessarily oak trees.
Thank you, Chair. Chair. I'm a bit of a con then, that really, isn't it? That's what I can. Thank you very much.
Well, if the committee will indulge me, I would like to make a plea for some, when we plant trees, could we have some native British species and could we have some blossom trees, please, because we're very short of blossom trees in England. It would be lovely to see some. I'll shut up. Right, is there anyone else to speak?
Sorry, Chair, I'm just explaining to your committee that I'll amend that condition to reflect what committee are saying in terms of landscaping.
What we can do, if members are minded, we could tweak the wording of condition 6. So when it talks about a scheme coming in showing semi-mature trees and other vegetation, that we slip in the words there to include so native species as well, if that's what members are minded to do.
Well, the proposal, the seconder, the rest of the... Are we happy that clause should be put in, please? Right, we'll come to the vote then. Councillor Bentley has proposed that we accept officer's recommendation. Councillor Seaton has seconded. Could I have a show of hands, please? Thank you. Any against? Any abstentions? The application is passed. Thank you very much.
If I may, Chair, while some people are leaving the public gallery, could I ask if someone could fetch Councillor Grimley?
Very well, colleagues. We're coming to item 2 on the agenda, P/18/2469/27 Derwent Road, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, this is an application for a two-storey extension to the side and rear and single storey extension to an existing HMO. The application has been called to Plans Committee by Councillor Smidovich. The application site forms half of a pair of semi-detached dwellings on the eastern side of Derwent Drive. The dwelling has a lawful use as a C4 house in multiple occupation for up to six people. Number 7 is set back from the street and benefits from a front garden and small driveway and parking area. There's also a driveway along the side of the property serving a detached garage in the rear garden. The application seeks consent to provide a two-storey extension to the side and rear of the dwelling, along with single-storey extensions. The two-storey extension to the rear is located in the centre of the property with single-storey extensions either side, and I'll show you the plans in a minute. The extensions would increase the number of bedrooms from the property from 4 to 6, and the submitted plans also make provision for 3 off-road parking spaces to the front of the dwelling. So for the benefit of members that couldn't attend site today, this is number 7, the application site, and the two-storey extension would go in the gap to the side of the property. Number 5, Derwent Drive, is the property just here, and has extended their property with a garage and utility room. And number 9, Derwent Drive, is attached to the application site and has a single-storey rear extension. So this is the rear of the property with number 9's extension that you can see there. And then just some others to help. This is number 5 with their single-storey side extension, and number 9 with their rear extension that covers the completely rear of their property. And then just to take a few of the street scenes so you can get a feel for the street. This is the application property with the red car on the front. So that's looking down Derwent Drive towards the lower numbers on the road, and then back up the road. So this is the existing property. As I said, it's already got a lawful C4 use for between 3 and 6 residents, which has been confirmed by a certificate of lawful use. And the proposal has both first floor and ground floor bedrooms. The proposal is to put on a two-storey side extension. The plans have been amended through the course of the application to include a setback and set down of the roof, setting the front of that two-storey extension back behind the building line of the host property and the neighbouring dwelling. The application also includes, you can see it just here, that two-storey extension at the back, which just is in the centre of the property with single-storey either side. So here's the roofs of the single-storey. You'll see that the roofs of the single-storeys have different design approaches. The one next to number 9 has a lean-to roof to match the extension already at the neighbouring property, and the one adjacent to number 5 has a hipped roof to reduce the impact on that neighbouring property. So we've received objections from Councillor Smidovich, the Nampanton Residents Group, and 11 local residents, and their concerns are set out on pages 34 to 30 and 35 of your report. Members' attention is also drawn to the extras report, where we had a late representation made by the residents group also. The Leicestershire County Council Highway Authority, environmental health officers at the council, along with our housing standards and licensing team, have all considered the application and raised no objections to the proposals. Members' attention is also drawn to the relevant development plan policies and material considerations, which are set out on pages 31 to 33 of your report. So if I just very quickly run through the key issues that members will need to consider. With regards to principle of development, members will know that all planning applications must be made in accordance with the development plan unless material considerations indicate otherwise. The application is within Loughborough, in one of the main urban areas of the borough, where the principle of extending dwellings is acceptable. A proposal, therefore, accords with policy CS1 and ST2 in that regard. Moving on to design and the impact of the street scene, concerns have been raised regarding the design and scale of the extensions, and it's acknowledged by officers that the scale of the proposed extension is large. However, it is considered to be acceptable in design terms. The revised plans ensure that the front elevation of the extension is set back behind the front elevation of the host property and garage belonging to number 5, which will provide a break between the dwellings. The design features of the side extension would match those of the existing dwellings, and it's not considered that the proposal would create a visually intrusive feature within the street scene. The rear extensions can't be seen from the public areas. However, the design of these is also considered to be acceptable. And although the roof designs have taken a different approach, the reasons for this are considered to be acceptable in terms of reducing the impact on the neighbours. Therefore, in design terms, the development is considered acceptable and complies with the development plan. With regards to impact on neighbouring residents, concerns have been expressed about the provision of extra bedrooms at the property to accommodate 6 people and the impact this would have. However, it should be noted that this is not an application for changes of use to the dwelling, and the dwelling already has a C4 use. A certificate of lawful use was granted in 2018 that shows that 6 unrelated people could live there. However, it is acknowledged that given that 2 additional bedrooms are to be provided, it would become more likely that the top of that number would be achieved compared to the existing house. Concerns have also been expressed regarding the scale of the extension and the impact on the amenity of the neighbouring properties. The amended proposal does not breach the 45-degree rule for light, and given the orientation and the overall height and design of the extensions, significant loss of sunlight and daylight is considered unlikely. The amended plans also comply with the adopted space between buildings guidance and is unlikely to result in overdominance or loss of privacy. The proposal would provide 6 bedrooms, as we've already covered, which is 2 more than at present times. But this has to be balanced against the existing lawful use. It also should be noted that the existing bedrooms are not, the proposed bedrooms would not be on the adjoining wall of the semi-detached property where transfer between the buildings is most likely. And for those reasons, it's considered that a refusal on noise would be hard to justify. With regards to bin stores, as set out in the report, there's sufficient amenity space to provide ample storage for bins. And therefore, given the reasons set out in the report, it's not considered there would be a substantial adverse impact to neighbouring amenity that would warrant the refusal of planning permission. The plans submitted with regards to highway safety show 3 off-road parking spaces, which is in accordance with the highway standing, the highway guidance for this size property, and the application is within easy walking and cycling distance to the town centre. As members will know, in order to refuse planning permission on highway grounds, there has to be substantial harm, and it's not considered that there would be substantial harm caused to highway safety as a result of this proposal. Therefore, whilst it's acknowledged that the extensions proposed are large, the design of the applications is considered acceptable, along with the impact on the residential properties. And whilst concerns have been raised regarding community imbalance and noise and disturbance, the dwelling has a lawful C4 use, and this is a significant consideration on this application. Therefore, given the context of the proposal and for the reasons set out in the report, it is considered the application is acceptable in planning terms, and therefore officers are recommending approval of the planning subject to the conditions set out.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. We have some speakers. Mrs. Kamla Mistry was going to speak on behalf of the objectors, but I believe that she has now nominated a Mr. John Lovett. Is that correct? Thank you. We did have a late speaker from the an agent for the developer, Mr. Chowdhury, but I understand that he has now elected not to speak. And we have the ward councillor, Councillor Margaret Smidovitz. So may I have Mr. Lovett, would you like to come forward, please?
Hi.
You'll need to come forward to the row in front of you.
Okay.
That's it. Mr. Lovett, you have 5 minutes. Once you've got to 4 minutes, I will let you know you have 1 minute left. And at 5 minutes, if you're still speaking, I will stop you. When you're ready to begin, please.
Thank you. It's going to be increased from 3 bedrooms, it's a 3-bedroom semi-detached property, to 6 bedrooms. That's 100% increase. There's no other houses on the road or in the area of that size. Second, it's a full-width, semi-detached, two-storey property, and there's been no extensions like that in the area, so there's nothing like that on the street. The increase on occupancy, the noise disturbance from the occupants will be increased with visitors also, and increased traffic. Up to 12 people could reside there with the 6 bedrooms. It's currently not a family home. The increase in rooms promotes more non-family occupancy, currently students, and this will still be the intention to the increase in rooms to bring more students to live in the house. Not provision for waste collection bins will be left out at the front as there is no external access from the front to the rear, so that will increase waste. Overlooking issues into number 9 Derwent Drive, with the bedroom window being moved closer to the boundary. The second floor extension will also block sunlight and daylight into the rear garden and master bedroom. The rear extension to number 9, the ground floor only, sets a good precedent of the line of the rear extension. This is also built to the line of the shed drain. The proposal of 7 Derwent Drive demonstrates the building line is drawing directly onto the shed drain and over the existing manhole. Construction of this will be hard, obviously, going over the shared drain. Student accommodation is being built in Loughborough to account for the increase in students at the university. This should be taken into consideration when the intent here is to clearly increase a family home of 3 bedrooms into a large 6-bedroom student house, which will detrimentally affect the local family residential area. There are no houses on Derwent Drive that give a similar precedent to the proposal submitted, i.e. side extension, rear extension, 100% increase in bedrooms. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lovett. Thank you. You may go back. Thank you. Councillor Smidovitz, please.
Good evening, members. The residents and ward councillors take exception to the planning officer's comments that there would be no harm that would arise from warrant of refusal of this application. The application is contrary to sections 1, 2, 4, 16 and TR 18 of the core strategy, and there are at least 7 material considerations of the possible 9 that you can consider as grounds for refusal, including the unsympathetic design and its overbearing impact from the development, the effect on the appearance of the street, permanent noise and disturbance, traffic and parking issues, and loss of privacy, to name but a few. I also refer to page 32 in the planning guidance EV1 and H17 on extensions and neighbouring amenity, where the sentence states, the policy is broadly consistent with saved local plan policy EV1 and H17. H17 highlights the 4 requirements that have to be met relating to the design, scale, mass, intrusion and dominance, and existing landscape to the character of the location. I am fully aware that this property has been an HMO since 2011 with 6 unrelated occupants. And because of the erosion of family homes, Charwood introduced Article 4 in 2012, and the past 7 years have seen government requirements on HMOs increasing, and parking requirements are currently being reviewed by both government and local councils. In 2018, this application was submitted as a C3 change of use to C4. It was only when challenged that it emerged and as an existing C4 requiring a certificate of lawfulness. Pre-2012, there was no planning law requiring a massive extension to be built in 2019 to house 3 additional residents. The landlord will benefit from the 100% increase in room size, which will consume the width of the plot to the boundaries of number 5 and number 9, and enhance the value of the property by £50,000. Not a material consideration, but adjacent properties will diminish in value and the street scene will change forever. All the houses on Derwent have the same configuration, which is why we have already requested conservation status for a Davis settlement. If this application is approved, it will set a precedent. It will not release family homes, and you will have to question why so many purpose-built student accommodation blocks are being approved, hundreds of rooms. We have proof that there is an oversupply of student accommodation in Loughborough and of the HMOs on this section of Derwent Drive. The cumulative effect of hidden HMOs has resulted in both number 5 and number 9 now sandwiched between numbers 3, 7 and 11, which are student rentals. These will never return to family ownership where there is an urgent demand. Nanpantan residents experience daily traffic problems. This huge extension will cause even more harm to the neighbours. It will alter the street scene, which is not dissimilar to 36 Barclay Road, which was upheld by an inspector on the grounds of character and appearance of the area, and also 17 Leconfield Road, where our own planning officer insisted on 3 car spaces for four bedrooms. The 6 double bedrooms will probably contain 12 occupants at most weekends. The officer herself states,
4 minutes.
There is no guarantee that sound disturbance will not occur. We know that HMO properties have the potential for greater number of TVs and other devices, all in use at the same time and a pain in the summer. The number of waste bins will be unsightly and stuck in the front, and for clarification, the bus service referred to is subsidised and is currently under threat from county. Page 41 highlights also that there may also be an issue with the boundaries for number 5 and number 9 and the Party Wall Act 1996 as a potential concern for neighbours. How will the gutters be cleaned and how will the inspection chambers be checked on the drains which will be built on? It'll have to be at the occupant's expense, not the developer.
Chair, Councillors Bebbington, Tillotson, Tassel and Bentley. Would anyone else like to be added to the list at this stage? Thank you. Councillor Bebbington, please.
Thank you, Chair. There's one area that does concern me greatly. We already know that it's a C4. It's got permission up to six people. And we're told these two additional bedrooms, I think it's two additional rather than the three that keeps being quoted, won't make any difference because there's still a limit of six. In that case, why build them? If it's already capable of having six people in it, why do you need an extra two bedrooms? Now, with all the associated cost, that concerns me. Now, I realise what's being said. What I would like to know is, what can we do to ensure that there aren't any more than six people actually go in there?
Okay. I think what I was trying to explain is that the lawful use of the property can have up to six people. There's four bedrooms. Now, it could be that people are sharing. We don't know. But lawful, if there was no more than six, there's no enforcement issue. What the proposal clearly does, as we can see from the plans, is increase the number of bedrooms from four to six. So you might think, so it's right that members are mindful that that makes it more likely that there'd be six people living there than, say, four. It's more likely that you'd be at that higher end. So whilst it's right that you do consider there's extra bedrooms, you have to be mindful that of the lawful use. You're not permitting the change of use here, that use has already been established. In terms of controlling it, the amount of occupants, if there was more than six, there'd be a change of use. It would go from a C4 dwelling to a sui generis use, which will be a situation we'll cover a bit later in the agenda. So there's no need to control the number of occupants, because if it was to go up to seven, they'd require full planning permission to do so, because it would change the use out of that C4 bracket. Their certificate of lawful use that was issued last year very clearly says permission. Their lawful use is from three to six people. So that's what they're binded by.
Thank you. Do you want to respond, please, Councillor Bebbington?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would like to pass a comment. We already know that this particular one, the certificate of lawfulness, was actually retrospective. If I understood what was being said earlier, was true. And how do the council officers become aware that there are, in fact, more than six people in the property?
Right. Whilst it was retrospective, that's inevitable on certificates of lawful use, because what they're doing is confirming legally what the lawful use is. So before 2012, when we bought an article, the Article 4, you didn't need permission to convert houses into C4 dwellings, and that's why we brought in the Article 4, so that we could control that through planning permissions. What the Certificate of Lawful Development did here is prove to the Council that before we introduced that Article 4, the use had already changed. So it changed before they required planning permission. Therefore, the lawful use had already occurred by that critical date in 2012, and they would have submitted evidence to prove that.
Thank you, Chair. I now understand that part of it. Could I get a response to the second part of it, which is, how does the council find out if there are more than six people in there?
Well, that's become a bit easier now with licensing. So this property would have to have a licence, and that licence would be maintained. And we're working very closely with our housing team to make sure that we our records are combined to make sure we pick up where licences are issued and they don't have permission, where they don't align with the permissions that they're granted. So if we were to get notification, we're consulted, if we were to be consulted that a licence had been sought for 7 or 8 residents, then clearly that would flag up with us that that's beyond the permission that lies on the property, and our enforcement team would pick that up.
I think it's fairly certain that people are aware I still have reservations about this. I'll wait to hear what other people's opinions are before I come any further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Bebbington. Councillor Tillotson, please.
Thank you, Chair. I understand that under their current categorisation, 6 unrelated people could live here. Mrs Jackson's explained it very well, I think. But in reality, this isn't possible because, as we've heard, this is a 3-bedroom property, and so, in reality, they might double up at the weekend, but they're with friends, who knows. But it's not a 6-bedroom house, so we can't have 6 unrelated people living there, even though the categorisation allows for that. So to make this 3-bedroom semi a 6-bedroom house, I do feel is overdevelopment and would have a detrimental effect on the local community. Linked but separate, I'm concerned that this development goes right up to the boundaries, cutting off any external access to the rear of the property, which just isn't practical, not just bins, but other reasons that you need to get to the rear of the property. So I feel it's overdevelopment. I think it will change the street scene and be out of character. So I'm afraid I can't support officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Tassel, please.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I'm afraid I've got... I'm glad to say I've got to agree with Councillor Tillotson on everything that she's said. My one concern is the fact that I've been listening to the people that has been speaking, and they have both said that these bedrooms, they could, in fact, house 12 people. I'd like to ask the officers if they've got any idea of the size of the bedrooms as they are at the moment, because if they've got 3 people living in them, are the bedrooms big enough to have 2 residents in them? So it could become 12. And to get to know whether there's 12, how many people are living in that house, surely we've got to rely on the neighbours to be able to let the council know that it's being oversubscribed. And I don't think that's... I'm just wondering if there's any other way that we can find out other than that. I know we've got to have a licence if it's over so many. But I would like to know what size the bedrooms are to start with, if they're double beds. And I'm really concerned at the fact that the bins are not going to be able to get taken to the back of the property. They are going to be left on the front because there's no access to the rear of the property. So I do think that's something that ought to be looked into. But I couldn't support this, I'm afraid, on a lot of things, but I would like some answers to regards to the bedrooms and what they would do with the bins. Are they going to do some bin storage areas or what to make it look decent? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tassel. Before I come back to you, Ms Jackson, I understand notes are being passed around backwards and forwards. Could I ask that this stops, please? I'm so sorry about that. Ms Jackson, would you like to respond to Councillor Tassel, please?
I'll go through them all. So, as I've tried to explain, there couldn't be 12 without there being a change of use. But now, we can't assume, and it's very dangerous ground for members to assume that people would act outside the law or planning control. You know, that there is law in in places, and we have enforcement processes. So if there was any more than six people living there, and we, you know, and that was clear, then we would take enforcement to ensure that they either applied or and then you'd get to consider it, or it would come to us. But there cannot be more than six without a change of use. It's a completely different use class. It would no longer be within the C4. The other thing that I will point out to members is if they turn to page 40 of their committee reports, they will see that there is a requirement under condition 6 for the developer to submit details of a bin storage area. That is because, member, as you'll see through the report, officers are very aware that the bins would have to be stored on the front, and we want to make sure that there is an enclosure in place to make sure that those bin facilities are visually acceptable and appropriate. So that's already been addressed under condition 6.
Thank you, Mrs. Jackson. Councillor Bentley, I'm informed I can't allow you to speak. I have Councillor...
Through you, Chair, perhaps we could just ask Michael to give us some advice about the note issue.
I would be only too grateful for Michael to give us some advice.
I would like to draw people's attention to paragraph 12.1 of the Council's Planning Code of Good Practice, which states that members of the Plans Committee should not allow members of the public or other councillors in the public gallery to communicate with you during the Plans Committee's proceedings, orally or in writing, other than through the scheme for public speaking, including during any break or temporary adjournment. I think, although the Planning Code doesn't go on to say that if that should happen, councillors should absent themselves from the meeting from that point on, I think there is an onus on all members of the committee to be able to not only be impartial, but demonstrate their impartiality throughout the decision-making process of the Plans Committee.
Sorry, Michael, can I ask for some clarification? Are you now telling me as Chair that Councillor Bentley must leave the meeting?
The code is not as strict as that, but I would urge, I think the best advice that could be given to the Council in those circumstances is that they actively consider doing that to ensure that the considerations of the Plans Committee are seen to be impartial, not questioning councillors' impartiality in any way, but there is an important principle that the decisions of the committee are not only clearly impartial, but seen to be impartial as well. I hope that's helpful, Chair.
I'm in some difficulty here, Councillor Bentley, because I believe that what you did it inadvertently. Please.
Chair, well, listening to actually what Michael's just said, he's referred to a councillor in the gallery. This is a councillor who had some notes, who presented a speech to us, the Plans Committee, and it would have been helpful for me to refer to some of those notes as a councillor who actually presented a speech to this committee, not just somebody who was in the gallery. So it's subtly different, I believe. And I'd like some clarification, please, on that specific point.
If I may, Chair, the wording in the code doesn't distinguish people's purposes for being at the meeting in the way that you were suggesting. Obviously, a factor to take into account is if the purpose is as you outlined, and the information is only something that everyone in the room was able to hear, that is a fact to be taken into account. As I said, the planning code isn't totally prescriptive on this, as it is with other matters. But I think, again, I can only urge you to think very carefully about the impression created.
Chair, okay, on the rest of this item, I won't speak. In fact, I'll leave the room and perhaps you can call me in afterwards, although I don't believe what I did was wrong, because all I was doing was really, the information had already been presented to all of us. There was elements within it which would have been helpful for the proposition I was about to make, but given the advice that we've had, just for absolute clarity and just to make absolutely clear, I'm prepared to withdraw for the rest of this item. Come back when it's finished.
Councillor Bentley, I think the decision to withdraw is up to you. I can't instruct you what to do. I can say I think that you should not speak and you clearly cannot vote. But if you wish to leave the meeting or not, that is your decision.
Chair, just to be absolutely clear, I will leave the meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right, I'll see where we are. Right, I have down Councillor Campbell, Councillor Grimney, Councillor Snart, and Councillor Tillotson wishes to speak again, but I will not take Councillor Tillotson until all those who have had the opportunity of speaking once have done so. May I ask, please, if anyone else would like to be added to the list at this stage? Thank you. I think, Ms. Jackson, we are waiting for you to respond to...
I have responded both times, just because I can clarify if it... Run through it again, because it might have been lost. I said that if there was any more than six, it was a change of use, and that the bins... a bin store is provided in Condition 6, and I referred members to Condition 6.
You're happy with that now, Councillor Tillotson. Tillotson. Councillor Tassel, you had a response from Mrs. Jackson. Are you happy to accept that response? Thank you. Councillor Campbell, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I've got some concerns about the application. Change to the street scene will be detrimental, I believe. You mentioned the bin store, but I can't see the size of a bin store to have all these bins in it. It's going to be massive, you know. So I can't see that working. I think bins will be left out. Number three, overbearing effect on the rest of the street. And the noise and traffic that's going to be, you know, extra noise and traffic is going to be bad. And my main concern, really, is that this town's short of housing for families, not for students. So that's my thing I can't get round, my head round. Sorry.
That's fine. I'm just going to pick up. I think it was covered in the previous meeting. The market, what drives the market, whether houses are needed, aren't part of the consideration here. We're not losing a family home. It's already a C4 use.
Thank you. Councillor Grimley, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm still not sure which way to go at the moment. I want to listen to what the rest of the people do say, but I certainly take the point about the bin facilities, bin storage. Now, there is a condition for bin storage that says within 2 months of the commencement of the development, full details need to be submitted, so that's going to take another 2 months or so before they're even approved. The house will be built and let by then. I think if we're having a condition like that, it needs to be fairly strong. I think that needs to be before development, that the details do need to be agreed. I don't see why it can't be agree beforehand, because it is quite a concern to members there. I don't know what the officer feels about that.
If members want to amend that, that's fine. One thing I do have to caveat it with is that pre-commencement conditions now require the agreement of the applicant, as been changed. So providing the applicant agrees, if not, then it will have to come back before you if you do make that amendment, if you're putting on a pre-commencement condition. But
through you, Chair, if I can just add, 2 months from the commencement of development for a development of this type, it's unlikely that it will be completed within 2 months, I would suggest.
Sorry, just come back on that. I mean, it talks about details to be submitted within 2 months of the development. Now, the details have then got to be agreed through officers, etc. That takes time as well. I think, is it 8 weeks period or something like that? So we're going along to, you know, four months. So, and the development will be completed within 4 months, I'm fairly sure. Alternatively, people will be occupying the property before that stage. I'm sure people will be in the property anyway during the works, possibly. So I just feel that that condition certainly isn't strong enough.
I understand that, and like I said, it is for members with that caveat. One thing that I would point out, that later in that condition, you always have to give distance a time and then also a compliance time. So the compliance time for that condition is that there should be no occupation of those extensions of those additional bedrooms until that bin storage facility is provided and in place. And then following that it has to be maintained at all times in perpetuity. So there's an extra bit which might allay your concerns a bit.
That doesn't allay my concerns, because the applicant will say, well, I've not got approval for that yet, so I can't do it, but they will occupy the property, and it will go to enforcement, and there'll be a whole lot of people. The fact is, it won't happen. So I think I would like to see, if it is one of the concerns, I'd like to see that. It's not a big deal. All they do is send the drawing in, show in the bin store, get it approved, jobs are good, and so it's not difficult, to be honest with you.
Councillor Stock, please.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Could I just, through officers, through you, just get some information, if I may. It was stated by one of the people speaking that this would be the only full-width one across the actual curtilage to curtilage. I thought that was not right. Could you just tell me whether that is, and probably just put the picture up of the street scene. And while you're doing that, could I just check, because I just want to make sure this does meet our conditions and policies. Can we just make sure that we look at the... We've got different ones here about over-dominance, loss of daylight. There's not a lot of noise we can talk about tonight, but the over-dominance and loss of daylight, does it meet all the criteria of our policies? And the final one is on page 38. It does say on-site cycle parking could be provided within the rear garden of the property. But there's no reference to that in anywhere in conditions or anything. Are we just saying we could do that, but it's just one of the optional things?
Okay. In terms of the full-width extension, it would be the only one in this section of Derwent Drive. It would be the only two-storey full-width extension. Now, that's not to say that there's not other examples in the vicinity, and members will be sure that they can remember other extensions that have gone two-storey across the width of the... the width of the side entries. The neighbour has extended single storey up to the boundary, which members will remember from sites. In terms of overdominance and loss of daylight and sunlight, our guidance refers to the 45-degree rule, And the development complies with that, and it wouldn't have an impact on habitable rooms, which is defined within the SPG as rooms used primarily during the day. In terms of overdominance, we'd look at our space between buildings guidance, and it complies with that, and dominance is considered acceptable. If I go to the plans. Oh, wrong way. You can see that in terms of the impact of the neighbours at the back, the number 9 has a single-storey extension. The proposal already, it does stick out slightly further, but it's a minimal distance. On the other side, number 5, there is a larger projection back, but that roof is hipped away from the neighbouring property. To reduce the impact. In terms of cycle storage, obviously cycle storage can be provided. They'd have to be taken through the house, and there is a straight route for that. It's not unusual. We see it with our properties in our terraced areas of the town. And if members felt that that was very important to them, they could add a condition to make sure that that cycle storage is provided.
Madam Chairman, if this does go through, I think that would, because there's not a lot of space for cars and so on, and it does actually say that it's within an area where we can cycle and get public transport, I think that would be beneficial to put that in, to say we should have a cycle stop.
Thank you, Councillor Short. Councillor Tillotson, please.
Yes, thank you. The street scene photo shows that there's not a huge frontage to the property. And if this is a 6-bedroom HMO, then how many bins can we expect a 6-bedroom HMO to have? Will it be 12 in total, 2 of each for each bedroom, or will it be 4? But whatever it is, it's going to take, even if it's only 4 bins, let's say, that's going to take up a significant amount of the frontage to have bin storage for 4 bins, which is going to take up at least the parking space for one car, if not 2. Even that in itself, the bin storage on that frontage is going to detract from the attractiveness of the area, in my opinion. When we were talking about potential for 12 people, I don't think anyone was suggesting it would be 12 separate individuals, but if they are double bedrooms, and Councillor Tasselhast, do we know about the size of the bedrooms, then I'm assuming she was getting at, if these are double bedrooms, then potentially there could be 2 people in each bedroom in a C4 classification, I guess, is what she was talking about. So if they're all double bedrooms, yes, potentially we could have up to 12 people living in this house. In reality, that's not likely to happen, is it? But still, large number of bins on the front, not enough space for even 2 cars potentially, certainly not more than that. And back to the lack of access to the back garden. Who's going to maintain the back garden? I'm not imagining, assuming it's students, that they're going to be keen gardeners, there's going to be no possibility of the landlord maintaining the rear garden because they're not going to be able to get to it, are they? So I have real reservations about this application.
I think I do need to come back on the point about occupants. They cannot have more than 6 people as occupants without changing the use, and that would require full planning permission. So even if the bedrooms are double bedrooms, there can't be more than 6 occupants without the use changing. That would require full planning permission that would come back before you.
So I'd misunderstood that. So I'd thought it was 6 unrelated people. So if you've got 2 people who are sharing, you know, a couple in one of the rooms, that still would count as 7 people, would it?
If members are really worried about this, they could put a condition on saying that the number of occupants is limited to six people to make it absolutely clear that that is the limit that you want to see at this property.
May I move on, Councillor Tillotson?
Yes, I think colleague members are mindful to support the application, then yes, I would like to see that included as a...
Thank you, Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. I've got to think of this house without having a C4 on it. If I wanted, if it was my house and I wanted a two-storey extension, then I'd put in planning permission and I'd more than likely get that planning permission. So the hold-up here is because it's a C4. It is a C4. There's nothing we can do about that. That's there anyway. So I think with this condition on it, would allay a lot of fears that are going around. I'm also concerned, and I don't want to really waste an awful lot of time on waste, but we are going to take up, and I can't see 12 bins going there. They're students, for goodness sake. Sorry, any students that are around. But I'm hoping that the setback, because the new extension will be set back, I'm hoping that that will be set back the width of a wheelie bin. And that would probably accommodate at least 4, probably 6 wheelie bins. I'm just hoping that the planners have thought about that so that it doesn't take up the space of 3 car parking. So, one, we've got a C4 on there anyway. They all should have... sorry, can I have just clarification? Is it a 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom house?
The existing plans show 4 bedrooms, 1 on the ground floor, 3 on the first floor.
Thank you, because we kept going between them. So my understanding was it was 4. So it's going to be increased to 6. And they should all have a separate bedroom. And, you know, unless... Yeah. Lee said, soonest mended. So I would like to... Well, I wouldn't necessarily like to. I steer away from these, but it's already a C4. There's nothing we can do about that. It's there. If the bin stores are sorted out and not an eyesore for the rest of the road, there are other houses that go through the full width. So we're not setting precedent because that's already been set. So I will go with officer's recommendation as long as that condition is there, that they cannot be more than 6 people living in that house. However, could I just ask for clarification again? Because if somebody wants to stay over, when do they get classed as a resident there? Is it 3 days a week, 4 days a week, or, I mean, can we have extra time for holidays or what?
Are you really sure you want to open that door, Councillor Seaton? I mean...
I would just like to know for my own sake, because we've all been asking about it. So, and we're all implying the same thing.
We await enlightenment from you.
I mean, it's obviously a matter of fact and degree. There's no line I can draw, but if it was clear, if we had a report that there was more people living there and it was clear that they were staying there on a more permanent basis, you know, they had clothes there, they had belongings there, then clearly they are living there and that would be taken into consideration along with tenancy agreements and everything else.
Right, so as I say, I'm quite happy to go with the officer's recommendation with that condition attached to it. Thank you.
Are we talking about the occupancy condition? And if so, what about the other suggested conditions with regards to cycle store and tweaking the bin store?
Yes, those conditions as well. Thank you very much for pointing those out. The cycle store at the rear, because it can't go at the front. and the whatever you've just said was as well. Thank you.
The details of the bin store before commencement.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. I have Councillor Tusser waiting to speak, please.
Thank you. Can I have point of clarification, please? I was under the impression that the piece that was, that the building as it stood that was going to be set back had a parking space in front of it, and that was one of the parking spaces. As the car is there on that, that is their drive to the back that they're going to... So that, I got the impression, was going to be one of the parking spaces. Can I have point of clarification on it, please?
Yes, certainly, Councillor. So the proposed parking spaces across the front, what I think Councillor Seaton was just discussing, was using this setback, which is approximately half a metre, to put the bin storage in that location, was screened off, details to be agreed, which would leave the sufficient space for the three parking spaces.
The council, please.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wondered how they get the bins out when the car's in the way. That was all.
Colleagues. Had you finished, Councillor? Thank you. Right, we need to come to the vote, please, colleagues. We have a proposal to accept Officer Reg's recommendation. Councillor Grimley, are you seconding that, or with the condition? Yeah. So we have a proposer, we have a seconder to accept Officer's recommendation. May I see a show of hands, please? All those in favour? Those against?
1, 2, 3, 4.
And any abstentions? Officer's recommendation is accepted. Thank you. With the conditions that have been applied. Yes. Could someone ask Councillor Bentley to come back, please?